Welcome back to WCHL. Aaron Keck here with you today, and we are joined by Charles Blackwood and David Caldwell, two candidates for Orange County Sheriff. That runoff, the second primary, is on Tuesday, July 15th. Early voting getting underway at the Board of Elections office in Hillsboro on Thursday of this week. The winner of the Democratic primary, of course, will be unopposed in the November general election. We've talked about various law enforcement issues, but I want to turn now to community outreach and a question that we've already sort of touched on several times over the course of the last half hour. One of our listeners had a question about the department's website, and I'm quoting now, these are not my words, any plans to update the website and bring the sheriff's office kicking and screaming into the early 21st century? What should the department do to improve its website, and what else can the department do over and above that to improve communication with residents? We'll start with David Caldwell and go to Charles Blackwood and take as much time as you want to answer that.
Oh, it won't take much. I looked at several websites, and at first I was very impressed with our website. Then I started looking at others that were a lot more detailed and had a lot of things that we had left out that I think it's another deal of comparing and researching and finding out the best things and the things in our county that we want to get out to the people and the things from the department that we would like people to know. Meetings, changes in new laws, things that are going on, the makeup of the department, where do you go for help, points of contact for different problems that you might have, things of that nature. I'd like to see more of that in there. And you'd probably have to bring in a professional to look at it and really bring it up to par with where it is. But then again, we go back to dealing with the finances. And, you know, we want to manage the taxpayers' money as best we can and spend as little and get the most out of it.
Charles Blackwood.
I was in the New Hope community last night talking with a person about this very issue. The department's website, the task was to provide as much information as possible. Where that got lost is it's too complex. It's too disconnected. I think sometimes when you're using a website to get information across to people, simpler is better. You want it to be as user-friendly as possible. That means whoever has the least amount of technical skills needs to be able to understand that website. I will tell you that I built my website. I did it myself, my wife and my son and I. It didn't cost a lot of money. And I've had a lot of people call and tell me that it's very clear, very concise, and very user-friendly. Take a look at it. I would like to see the department's website simplified, and I want it to be as user-friendly as possible, because if they can't use it, they're not coming back to it.
This will sort of bleed into coming questions about communication and community policing and community outreach and things like that. But what else can the department do to improve communications with residents over and above the website? Open for anyone who wants to answer. David Caldwell.
Well, one of the things is that the website is good for those who have computers. A lot of the people in the community don't have computers and can't get that knowledge. I'd like to institute a program we call the PRAISE program, which is Partnerships Realize and Actual Involvement, that serves everyone, where our largest groups now are churches, and they have access to a lot of members, and just letting them know, going in with the churches and talking about gang activity, drug activity, personal protection, physical security for their homes and things of that nature. And I think we'll reach more people that way. It's a program that will be set up and hopefully use all of the religious factors in the county in trying to get them to become a part of it. And again, zero cost to the county.
Charles, follow up.
Orange County has a communication specialist now. Mm-hmm. The signboards in the retirement centers and other locations throughout the county where county buildings, the signboards are activated. They're giving information to people. It does go that step beyond, as David was saying. There's a lot of folks that don't use social media, social network, and computers. We're finding this out with our websites, and people say, well, I didn't know about that. I mean, so there are people that don't use that, and there are people that still read the newspapers. There are people who listen to WCHL. So we've got to use all those as tools in our box rather than depending on one.
Moving ahead, and sort of a related question, starting with Charles and going to David. The police departments in the three municipalities, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro, are all very committed to the idea of community policing, reaching out to residents, establishing connections, developing bonds within neighborhoods to foster a cooperative atmosphere where everyone's looking out for each other, all the better to prevent crime. A little trickier in rural Orange County, where you don't have as many neighborhoods per se, but what, if anything, should the sheriff's department do in that vein? Charles Blackwood first.
Well, I mean, the original police model from Sir Robert Peel was the police or the public and the public or the police. I think we've continued that throughout the years. I know that David and I worked alongside each other at the Sheriff's Office, and we've been involved in many outreach programs within the Sheriff's Department through the rural and the municipalities. I think we just need to keep that going. We have rural fire departments. We have the retirement centers. We have other community groups throughout the county that we can take advantage of for outreach. But it starts with the deputy in the car. And when he's in a community and he's out there and somebody walks up to him and he's get out of the car, talk with him and take advantage of that one-on-one.
David Caldwell.
Absolutely. It'll start that one-on-one, stopping at the stores, speaking to people with a cup of coffee. Let them know that you're not just a badge and a gun. The other thing is getting the other communities and the other agencies to work together, because criminals have a tendency of knowing that I can commit a break-in in Chapel Hill and step right across the street, and I'll be in Carrboro. And it's going to take them a certain amount of time, and they're not going to communicate, and they're not going to know where I am or what I've done. And the departments are going to have to speak and communicate a little bit better, get in with the neighborhoods to let them know, because a lot of guys go from neighborhood to neighborhood. And it's just going to be that, and I keep beating it, and I hope I don't beat this horse to death, but it boils down to communication on all levels.
And that's a perfect segue into the next question. And David, we'll start with you and go to Charles next. As sheriff, what is the next step? How would you work with the police departments in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsborough, DPS on UNC campus? How can Orange County's law enforcement agencies better work together?
I'd start with a cup of coffee. I have no problem meeting. We have a tendency to want to be the big fish in our little ponds, and I think we need to get rid of that, get outside of that box, because just like air, water, and wind, it knows no boundaries. And crime is the same way. And we cannot deal with crime in just a little box, because it's going to flow over. And once it starts to flow over, we don't communicate, then it'll flow over into our box and into the next box and the next box, to where we'll actually lose control of it. So I think that we need to get with the agencies, get together, and I would like to sit down with all of them and say, this is, what do you have, what's going on? I then create a weekly, bi-weekly meeting where we get together and say, hey, well, what did you have this week? What do you have coming up that you might need our help with?
Charles Blackwood.
I think that we've got to, the sheriff, as the leader of the organization, has got to set the standard. And David's absolutely right. In some instances, you've got to humble yourself and remember that it takes a little bit more than just saying that you are the sheriff. You've got to set the example, make sure that the policies and practices within your department, and there's formal and informal policy, carry down through the troops, and they know that we're not the only law enforcement agency in this county. We've got to work with our neighboring agencies. We've got to foster that good working relationship. We want to be the hub of law enforcement within the county, but we don't want to be the king. They're very often, we've got to come into your house, Chapel Hill, or your house, Carrboro, or Mebane, or wherever, and not expect you to come to us.
And both of you are talking about sort of a matter of approach or mentality there. Are there any sort of systematic policies or procedures that need to be changed as well? David?
I don't think there's anything, any written rule or policy out there. I think it's just a mutual respect that we have for each other that we show, and just to what limit we're going to take it. And I think too much is based on the individual and how far they want to take it. You have some patrolmen all the way up to their supervisors that are really in for getting together, but others feel like, well, if I deal with this other agency, that's going to create more work for me, and they don't want to do it so well.
Charles, agree with that?
Yes, I do. And, you know, one of the things that Sheriff Pendergrass always told us is that, you know, you've got to put your feelings aside. You know, you've got to reach out. You've got to make certain that bond occurs. You've got to foster that good working relationship. And it does have to start at the top.
And one more follow-up on this before we move on. We've talked about cooperation and working together with other law enforcement agencies. How about other agencies in general, governmental offices, nonprofits, businesses? How can or should Orange County Sheriff's Office work with those other agencies?
The same thing. There's a book by Stephen Covey. It's called The Speed of Trust. There's nothing faster than the speed of trust. If your trust is high, the speed goes up, costs go down. If your trust is low, the speed goes down and costs go up. So if you establish that good working relationship and the trust is there, sometimes a phone call is all it takes to get it to happen. That's one of the things that I pride myself on in this race, is that I do have a good working relationship with all the law enforcement agencies around us, the state, local level, with our courts, with our judges, and with our prosecutors and our defense attorneys. And I think that the trust is high and the speed is high and the cost will be low.
David Coleman?
I think working with the other agencies is just basically with teaching them to identify some of the problems or systems or instances that will become a problem later. You have kids that might be withdrawn. For instance, our school system or social service, our school system, kids are withdrawn and not talking. They're being bullied. How do we act to it? How do we recognize it? What do we do about it? Social services might go to homes and see something. They have a plan set up to report it, but I would like to see them with a little more training so when they identify it, they can bring, you know, better information back, which will enable us to do a much better job in enforcing what violations they saw. Biggest thing is just communication through the agencies along with the training and the cross-training.
And you mentioned schools just then, and that's our next question. We'll start with Charles Blackwood and go to David Caldwell. What should the sheriff's office's role be in the public schools? The school-to-prison pipeline, David Caldwell, you've mentioned that in your campaign, has been a key point of concern for many here in Orange County. What can the sheriff's office do to address that issue? We'll start with Charles Blackwood.
We're there to support the school systems. We're there to support the school administrators to whatever degree they deem appropriate. I think that we've got to remember that as law enforcement officers, when we walk into that school system, we're working for the administrators rather than for the agency. Not that we can't do both at the same time, but your rights over those children are somewhat different when you're a school resource officer, and we've got to recognize that. I think that, you know, we've proven that we make a difference in the schools. I know that. I've seen that, and so is David. He will not disagree with that. I know that there are times when the parents had rather not have to have law enforcement officers in their schools. I recognize that, but I think our school administration has decided that it's a necessity, and as long as they want to see it, it's going to happen.
David Caldwell?
And as you said, I do agree with that. The biggest thing is support. We're there to support the schools. And a big thing in that learning process is for a child to come to school and feel safe. And that's what we want to do. But they give our SROs, they have a responsibility, but I think the school needs to realize that not to abuse it with what we're there. You know, we're not there to do your discipline, your disciplining of kids that are acting up in class, but therefore that safety measure, that violence section, that we can stop it before it gets started. And it comes down again to sitting down and talking about exactly what you expect of us, and we'll tell you this is what we can do, and then we come to a medium.
Follow-up question open to anyone. Is there anything that you would do differently with regard to the role that SROs play in schools right now or the training that they receive before they get in there? Charles?
I think, and I want to touch on this real quick, I think that, you know, it's wonderful that they're there, and I've said in some of the forums before that the safety factor is the primary issue that we're dealing with, but the byproduct of this is you've got a mentor for that student, for that child that they may not have at home. And, you know, candidate Fawcett mentioned many times, Larry talked about the fact that their parents are not involved with these kids' lives. It breaks their heart to see that they're just not there for graduations, football games, recitals. The parents are not there. Those officers are. And this is building relationships at an early level, and I'll yield to David. I think we need to keep doing what we're doing.
Absolutely. Larry is one of the best at that job in recognizing and seeing. He's has such expertise in it. And I think we need to see more in there doing that, not just that that security aspect, but being there when school is not in, not when you have your badge and uniform on, but being there when they're relaxed. You find they'll come to you with their problems. They'll have that role model, knowing there's ways to get out. And sometimes they'll have a question that's simple, but it's life-changing, and they have nobody to ask. And that position, you know, I think we should have more in there at that particular time to answer those type of questions for the kids around the school.
And Charles, you were nodding your head at that sort of, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with him. And you know, one of the things we ask our officers to do is at lunchtime, just take a minute and go by the school and eat lunch with the kids. Mm-hmm. Now, you might have to go 12 times. for this kid to build up the trust in you. You know, I talked about trust. Once that trust is built, it's there, and it's there mm-hmm. until you betray it. So I think that David's right, not just when you're on duty, not just when school's in session, but lunchtime is a great time to do it, and you got to mm-hmm. break that barrier down and let them come to you.
Yes.
All right, next general question, beginning with David Caldwell and going to Charles Blackwood. And we've touched on this already, but just sort of focusing on it specifically. When people think about the role of the sheriff's office, we tend to think about enforcing laws after they've already been broken, but prevention is equally, if not more, important. So as sheriff, what would you do or what policies would you implement to improve crime prevention in Orange County, especially in those areas where we know crime tends to be higher?
I think we need to get out into the communities more. Increase our neighborhood watch programs and just the education of it. Our physical security, personal security, making sure is the program I was talking about, bringing into the churches, teaching people how to go to their vehicles, how to be safe, how to look around before they get in their cars. What's some simple things you can do to safeguard your homes? These type of things, just to increase the information for preventive measures needs to be really enforced and emphasized.
Charles Blackwood.
Pull the plug on Butch Clark's crime prevention notice if you want to see people jump up and down. The crime prevention program that we have at the sheriff's office is phenomenal. Butch keeps these people. If my mother doesn't get that email, my phone's ringing. She wants to know what's up. What's wrong with Butch? Is he sick? Our crime prevention program is good. It goes out in the communities. It reaches our rural communities. It reaches into our corporate city limits as well. We've got to keep our crime prevention program going, and we can expand that with the use of technology. We can expand that with the use of training and possibly by adding some personnel into that department division of the agency.
All right, next question, and opening it first with Charles Blackwood and then David Caldwell. Let's talk about diversity. Orange County is already a diverse community, and it's becoming increasingly diverse in a variety of ways. Bunch of different possible aspects of this question, so I'll just open with a general question. What challenges does that pose for the sheriff's office, and how do you propose to meet those challenges?
Recruiting. You know, a lot's been said about the diversity prong of the sheriff's office. Of 160 personnel, I'm going to do some quick math now. I think that 15% in 2012, 12% of Orange County was deemed to be African American. Conservative estimates would put it at 15% now, which would be of 160, 24 people. We have 30 African Americans now. I have 6 Hispanics and 2 Asians. I have 1 Filipino, Mandarin Chinese, Hispanic, English-speaking office staff. We're above the quote, I want a department that is reflectionary of the agency of the county we serve. So I think we're doing a great job. Can we do better? Is 15% enough? Is 20%? I don't know what the magic number is. I think what you do is you hire and recruit good people that can do the job. If it's a Caucasian male that can speak Hispanic, then he serves a specific purpose. But as David and I agree on, they're not going to gain the same level of trust. It doesn't matter how good you speak it. If you're not there, you're not there. So I think we need to look at our recruiting. I understand we recently attended a job fair, and it worked out really well. So we need to build upon that.
David Caldwell.
I agree with him. It's going to be recruiting. And how do we recruit? We go into the schools. We get our 18, 19-year-olds that are interested in law enforcement. We bring back our Explore program, get them started in training. That way we get to watch them for 2 or 3 years until they come of age. We talk with the counselors, the teachers, the coaches, the people in the community to make sure they have the quality that we want. It's great to have those people, but we got to have them on the street, where they can make the contact. And that's where we're having our problem at, is getting them on the street that the people can see them. Not speak to me after I've been arrested or locked up, but speak to me and ask me how my day is going, or is there anything I can do for you? I think that's one of the biggest things we have, and with the diversity and dealing with it, is and it goes back to that recruiting.
All right. Turning next to sort of managerial-related questions, we've talked about community outreach and law enforcement. Beginning with David Caldwell and going to Charles Blackwood, the sheriff has to be many things. One of those things is a manager. Talk about your experience in managerial positions and how you see yourself as a manager. What's your approach to running a department, and what's your approach to engaging with staff?
I left this department as a lieutenant in patrol division upon retiring, and since then I got involved with community activism, doing project director and community organizer for the Roger Max Neighborhood Association. I contract out with the University of North Carolina as a community expert with HPDP, Health Promotion and Disease Prevention. I'm on the board of directors for the North Carolina Environmental Justice Network. And all of these different agencies that I'm a part of, we travel around the state and the country helping people organize, helping people manage, problem solving, decision making, these type of deals. I think that skill, I will like to take what I've learned in those positions and bring it into law enforcement. And I think it will help me a great deal and provide a great service to the county.
Charles Blackwood.
Well, in serving in the sheriff's office, I think my first promotion was 1983 or 84. And I've been in a leadership role within the department ever since then, most recently taking on the role of second in command to the sheriff. My leadership style is proven. The troops respond well. I don't believe in telling them what to do so much as I do asking them, demonstrating to them that I'll do it with them. I'll do it instead of them, but I'll do it with them. I attended the 26th session and served as class vice president from the Administrative Officers Management Program at NC State University, which is one of the most sought-after leadership management classes in the United States, with people from Korea, people from Hawaii, people from China in attendance. It opens your eyes to leadership skills that you didn't know you had. I was selected by the North Carolina Sheriff's Association President Edmund Caldwell to assist with the Sheriff's Leadership Institute, which is a class that is given to newly elected sheriffs to teach them how to take office. I helped design that program. I'm very proud of my record as a supervisor and as a manager, and I think that, as I said, my management skills have been proven within the agency.
We've only got a few minutes left. We're not quite going to get through all of the questions that we have, but just take a few seconds to answer these questions. Some that you have both brought up in your platforms and in other forums. Talk about the day-to-day procedures, and we'll start with Charles Blackwood and go to David Caldwell. Talk about the day-to-day procedures in the sheriff's office, the things that residents don't ordinarily see or think about. What would you do in terms of policies and procedures to make the sheriff's office run better?
The day starts early. The day starts with the sheriff getting a call about what happened in the jail overnight. You talk about an unfunded mandate. That's a huge pile of bricks on top of the hill with people's lives in the balance. These are people who have not been convicted of crimes, very many of them, or they are awaiting trial. All the gamut of the problems that can occur when you incarcerate someone, from health to mental health issues to dental bills to surgical bills to transport issues. We have to get them to court in another county in the state. We have to get an inmate from another county to our county for court. Then it goes to the troops. What have they done overnight? What do they need to do for the day? Investigations. What cases are open? What cases are closed? Who do you need to follow up with? Back to transport. When do you have to have this person in court? What court do they need to be in? What inmate has to be separated within jails, the jail cells? What young inmate is in there that needs to be looked after a little bit differently than the rest? It's never ending. And then the phone starts at 8 o'clock. That's where our problem-solving skills kick into gear. And David has seen it. I've seen it. We've both worked together, and we know that the minute the problem comes, it's an adrenaline rush for us. This is what we do. This is who we are, and we're willing to take this task on.
David Caldwell.
I agree with him 100%. I'll only add that we ask that you understand what this young man has gone through that you might not be aware of. You're probably asking him just one question, but he's probably already fielded 100 questions in the last couple of hours. He might have just left a dead body call where the family's had a chance to grieve, or they've had a chance to deal with the crisis. He only has a couple of minutes to do it, do the paperwork, not show any emotion, actually, and then move on to the next call. So that's the professionalism and the things that they have out there, and these young men and women that are doing an excellent job. And this stress alone, everything that the Charles said, takes it right up and down the ladder. It's a gamut, a smorgasbord of so many different stress-related incidents that these people have to put in order and prioritize, and they can't let anything fall through the cracks.
Just take 30 seconds to answer, and we've only got a few more minutes left. David first and then Charles. We're a year and 2 days removed from the flood of 2013. There may or may not be a hurricane on the way later this week. What should the sheriff's office do to promote disaster preparedness?
You know, my tenure under the sheriff and working with Charles, we've dealt with several disasters, and it always amazes me how he could always come up with a plan that was so effective that everything was just appeared successful and it moved so smoothly. And it all went back to advanced planning, being prepared for it, knowing what's going on, dealing with the crime, and knowing what your resources were, and getting the word out. It was always I think we always had good feedback and good feelings for any of the crises that we had to deal with as a department.
Charles Blackwood?
Well, I agree, and that's where you have to just step forward and realize that for the next 32 or however many hours, this is your job. This is what you got to take care of. You work very closely with the county's emergency management coordinator and director. You listen to what they need, and you provide it as best you can. You call on your troops to give of themselves. I can recall the sheriff calling me when the hurricane came through and said, "Is your family squared away?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "We need to go to work." Mm-hmm. And you get up and you go. And that's what deputies do. And as a sheriff, you've got to be willing, again, to be humble and to be a tool in the box rather than the king.
And then finally, since we've only got a minute left, I wish we could get to everything, but Charles first and then David, just take a few seconds. What other issues need to be emphasized in this race that we haven't had a chance to talk about in the last hour?
How important it is. I mean, this is the chief law enforcement agency in the county. The sheriff's office is the office of sheriff is one of the oldest offices in existence. It matters. Folks need to wake up and realize that this is a very important election. Regardless of who you vote for, go vote. Mm-hmm. And I'd be remiss if I didn't recognize Sheriff Lindy Pendergrass and what he's done for this county, and the fact that that's why we don't think about it so much is because he's done such a doggone good job for so long.
Last word, David Caldwell.
Agreeing with him on that, this election is going to be history-making, whatever happens, simply because Lindy has been in for so long. We've never had to worry about it, as Charles said. And we've got to come out and do it. No matter who you come out for, you've got to come out. History only happens every once in a while for us like this. And I hope everyone takes advantage of it and becomes a part of it.
Early voting gets underway on Thursday. Election day itself is Tuesday, July 15th. Get out to the polls and vote. Charles Blackwood, David Caldwell, thank you so much for joining us this hour.
Thank you for having us.